whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It just doesn't happen, and when it does, kids lose their minds.
Right, and in my neighborhood, all the kids were out. I got to North Lake High School, just down the street from me here in Coweta County, and it's just everyone's just going bananas. It really has been a blast, and I just tell you, it does bring out the little kid in you. You know what I mean, Carl? It's just you can't help but be a little giddy, you know, and just have a little fun and shenanigans. So, yeah, we're having a ball.
All right, man, we do have a lot to talk about today, and we are glad you are here. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Padley. Sell your home for cash fast at PadleyBuys.com. That's P-A-D-L-Y. We will talk about the college football playoff game that we will have tonight, which will determine who's going to play Notre Dame, who won last night, which we'll talk about. We also will get into the playoff matchups because it's wild card weekend, and we'll continue to talk about our Falcons and what's going on. There is footage out there that Raheem Morris was at this Penn State game last night. And I don't know if you guys had a chance to see it. I retweeted it to put him up, C. Dukes. Listen, all these coaches have friends, but it makes you wonder, is he sniffing around or just supporting a coaching friend of his, or is he sniffing around for a potential change on the coaching staff? As James Franklin is making his way to the locker room, in the background, you see Coach Raw, and it's kind of like, that dude looks like Raheem Morris. And then you realize that dude is. And people have now put it out there and said, hey, Raw was spotted last night. Mike, I don't know what that is or what that's about. But again, I don't want to make, you know, anything of it except the fact that he's got the right to be wherever the hell he wants. And if he wanted to go to the game or has coaching friends, so be it. But everybody, you know how this works. I mean, somebody can put one thing out there and it's like, oh, Ra was there to go talk to this specific coach. No confirmation about that. Again, he could have just been at the game. But I thought that was weird considering the week it's been for the Falcons.
Look, I guess you can blow off steam. He's a big boy. He can do whatever he wants. And again, if he has a relationship with some of the folks, either program, and I thought it was great, you know, for Coach Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame, and they earned it, man. They just played clutch. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of that game. Feel sorry for our boss, Mike Conte, who went down there, and all of a sudden Drew Aller just forgot how to play quarterback, Carl, like in the last 5 minutes of that game. But yeah, man, if he's got a vibe down there, it's cool. And look, he can go decompress. It's not like there's anything he can do to fix this football team right now. That's going to start with the front office and the personnel decisions and everything else.
Yeah, I think tonight I'm hoping we get as good of a game as we got last night. Listen, overall, it wasn't like big explosive plays and all that kind of stuff. It was a grinded kind of game. But to your point, Mike, whatever you thought about Notre Dame, they're physical. They are mentally tough. They had multiple injuries last night that they had to overcome. Their coaching staff showed me a lot when they made the adjustments as they were getting the ball ran down their throat, and then all of a sudden things stopped. I just felt like they were the better coaching staff, the better team, and I do think they're the right team to be, you know, in position to win a national championship. And I don't like Notre Dame. Like, we talk about this. I'm not a fan. I've never been. I always felt like they're entitled and privileged, and they always get the love even when they didn't deserve it. But you're right. This Marcus Freeman story is great. Guys, he's 39 years old. When he got the job, I said this to Mike yesterday. Everybody's like, oh, he's too young. He's not ready. When you know, the opportunity came. And this is a hell of a turnaround for a program that, again, under Brian Kelly, Mike, they never did this, right? They had a chance to win one in 2012, got blown out. But this feels different.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I've said it to you a million times. I'm with you. I've always felt Notre Dame, there was a sense of, you know, elitism from the fan base, and they've always been able to punch their ticket, whether they deserved it or not, into the BCS and always get whooped. We always go back to that Manti Te'o beat down in Alabama's hands, and then subsequently in the college football playoff, they don't bring the heat. But that's on Brian Kelly. Marcus Freeman's guys, that's a different animal. And it's funny, you and I were talking so much the last few weeks about how Georgia has really no playmakers at wide receiver. Have you ever seen a college football game with less impressive wide receivers than Notre Dame and Penn State? And then all of a sudden, eventually, Riley Leonard did start making some plays with his legs and finding his guys. But yeah, it just goes to show you're playing some good hard-nosed defense. I don't know if Notre Dame can handle either Texas or Ohio State, but hey, they'll be here in Atlanta, and that's good for the bartenders because those people spend money.
They do. 404-726-0929. You can text us. By the way, send your pics, man. We want to see what you're doing with the snow. If you had a chance to do something this morning, listen, like I said, it stopped snowing up here a few hours ago. Some of this stuff is melting away, and I know we're going to get some other precipitation later in the day or whatever, but let us know what you're doing, man. And if you got a chance to build a snowman, or if you went sledding, or the puppies enjoyed it like ours, find Mike at Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, see Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929 on this Friday. And we'll all remember, because again, you know, we got this snow day and it's pretty cool. I wish it would be even cooler with our football team playing this weekend, Mike. And of course, we're talking about the Falcons. We will get into this process that Terry was talking about yesterday, because we played a lot of sound bites. And thanks to the folks that came out at Twin Peaks yesterday in Buckhead. Again, we will be back up at the Buckhead or the Twin Peaks in Kennesaw coming up soon. We were supposed to be there today, but obviously with all this weather, that got postponed. But we'll talk about this process, and we'll get more into the Falcons as well. And also, we'll talk more about this Texas-Ohio State game. But I will tell you, as far as Wild Card Weekend and getting back to the Falcons not playing, there's going to be some upsets. But, Mike, I'll be honest, man, I'm having a hard time picking them right now, because it's like favorite, favorite, favorite. Like, I have a hard time not picking the Eagles to win, right? I'm having a hard time not picking the Ravens to win against Pittsburgh. Of course, we pick against the spread, and we'll give you our picks later in the show. But I'm just saying, like, there's going to be an upset or two. I'm having a tough time. Are the Vikings going to go on the road? And I know it's not in L.A. now. I get all the fire stuff. Right. But are they going to go on the road after last week and bounce back and beat the Rams, who've been playing really well?
Because everybody in the country, even when they were winning and in the position to win that division and lock in the number one seed, people still don't believe in Sam Darnold. And in that game, the Lions got after, even though the Lions front seven is banged up, I thought they did such a great job of basically going 3 yards up the field, turn left or right, and meet at the quarterback and box Sam Darnold in, and then he was forcing throws and the pressure got to him. He wasn't accurate. I mean, I'm not saying it was impossible, but he couldn't respond. So this goes right back to the people that are just waiting for the other shoe to drop with Sam Darnold, that he's got to show that he can, that, you know, especially if he wants to get that contract, whatever that number is going to be.
Yeah, we're going to break it all down coming up on in our fourth and one segment and throughout the course of the show. We have some really good games, and the cool thing is most of you will be at home, and you get a chance to watch all of this stuff.
Yeah,
I do need to
mention, you don't have to worry about missing the start to the game. I can't wait to watch this game tonight. I'm nervous for you. You're a Longhorn. We're all Longhorn fans tonight. But this one, I just think we're going to get fireworks from the jump on this one. Last night was a slow burn, you know, just 10-3 at halftime, and then it was a game of runs. Notre Dame made a run. Penn State made a run. Then Notre Dame finished. But I think this one's going to be fireworks from the jump.
Yeah, and this is going to come down to these defenses. I mean, like, look, Texas has a really good defense, but this is, again, probably the second best defense that they will have played outside of Georgia. And when they played Georgia, Georgia's defense was really good in both of those games. So I'm with you. And Quinn can't make dumb mistakes. I'm talking about Quinn Ewers, but I do think he's better than the Ohio State quarterback, which gives me a reason to believe that he's going to make some plays tonight. I do want to mention this, because we're going to talk about this throughout the course of the show. And it just, I know you've brought this up numerous times, and it's the what if, and I'm glad we didn't. Mm-hmm. But we have now learned that Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson tore his Achilles again within a 12-week period. So he tore it right in October. He missed the rest of the season, and he was rehabbing, and then tore it again. So he just had surgery Thursday night on the new tear. What this means is he probably will not play next season, because it's a year, and we know this. We just saw Kirk Cousins. Right. So the October
tear. We saw Mike Soroka go through it. Remember Mike Soroka with the Braves?
So the October thing was like, okay, he might be back early September of next year. Mike, he just tore it again, and I'm just believing now, like, he's done. I say that.
You're never going to see him again.
No, I think he's, because again, you're talking about another year of not playing. And for the Browns, they did take out an insurance policy, but they restructured his deal so they could cover a majority of the salary, which was smart when they did that in December. But that news came today, and I was like, man, what if the Falcons, and we don't know if this would have played out here, but what a disaster this has been.
Yeah, and again, the stuff that was off the field during COVID, that, you know, obviously it was humiliating for him, and certainly, you know, he should have known better. It was embarrassing for the NFL. But then you just, at the end of the day, okay, to put it behind him, go win some games in Cleveland. No one in Cleveland will care, as long as you get, you know, be the stud that you were those first two or three years in Houston, and it's never happened. And he's just been one big disaster after another. And I think you're right. Aside from restructuring, they just got to rip the Band-Aid off, and just kind of like what happened with Russell Wilson in Denver, and just find your new quarterback, maybe maybe it's Cam Ward out of Miami, whatever they're going to do in Cleveland, and just turn the page. Because, man, it was a disaster, and I'm glad, unfortunately, I know it was a local kid, Carl, glad we avoided that mess.
404-726-0929. Guys, we are here until 7. It is a regular show, despite the fact that many of you are outside hanging out and, you know, enjoying this snow day. But we got a lot to get to, including who was he throwing the ball to last night? The game on the line. And who was he throwing it to? We'll talk about it coming up as part of our daily download next. And if you are on the roads, make sure you're driving safely. They had a couple of, fender benders and whatnot. Mike, did you hear about the thing at the airport, too? Did you hear about that?
No, what happened?
Apparently, there was a Delta plane, and I just saw it because, you know, we had the news on as far as the weather. And I guess one of the engines caught fire, so they had to abort the takeoff, and then they, you know, put the chutes down. Yeah, they had to put the chutes down for everybody to get out. And then I think, things are back to normal there. But nobody was hurt, from what I understand, as far as, you know, no real injuries, some minor stuff. But, yeah, that happened today. And then they had a stoppage where nobody was, you know, taking off or landing or whatever at Hartsfield. So a busy day all the way around, man, everywhere around our city. But, again, if you're out and about, be safe and hope you enjoy the day with the snow and stuff. How much did you guys get, by the way, down there?
About 2 to 3 inches. It's funny because one of my neighbors who lives right down here on the cul-de-sac is a Delta pilot, and he's got, it's not a Tesla, it's another one of the electric pickup truck. Rivian? Is that the brand? Anyway, he's got all-wheel drive in that bad boy. So he was heading in thinking that he had a flight. I just saw the video of everybody getting off the plane. That's amazing. But yeah, just down here, I think in our neighborhood, it's slushy, and it is the roads aren't too bad, but it requires some skill if you know what you're doing. And if this thing freezes, that's the thing. If the temperatures go down tonight, it's going to be a hot mess.
I totally agree. By the way, we mentioned this yesterday on the show, but it is official. He has put it out on his social, which that is Carson Beck, Mike. Going to Miami, and we you know, talked about it at nauseam yesterday because I think it caught a lot of people, including, you know, us, a little bit off guard in regards to, oh, you're going in the portal. Well, what's going on? But his post was simple: go Canes, committed. So Carson Beck is moving on, and now he's down there with his girlfriend. I think Turtle brought that up yesterday, and you know, he gets another year to prove himself. And look, I don't know because I don't follow Miami, you know, recruiting like that, like we do with the Dogs or Georgia Tech or anybody here in our state. But I'm not sure what, you know, their squad is going to look like. I do know with Cam Ward, they thought they'd get there this year, and they didn't. So we'll see, but we wish them nothing but the best.
I know that you and I were looking at numbers, and the reports yesterday were anywhere from 3 to 5 million. And I saw today a couple of things from Miami that said it was a $4 million NIL deal for Carson Beck. So you weren't going to be a first-round pick because of the injury. So this, I mean, look, it works out great. I don't know if Kirby would have said thanks, but no thanks, knowing that you're going to have Gunnar Stockton and the other quarterbacks, Puglisi, put in all the work in spring football only to have him come back and take over the job when he can finally throw. So it probably works out. It's mutually beneficial. And then he goes down there, makes some good loot, and then rehabilitates. You know, if he took a hit this year, if whatever you thought of Carson Beck with some of those, you know, interceptions and everything else, gets back on track, and then he gets going to be a top 15 or top 10 pick.
Yeah. I think, well, listen, we don't know if it'll work out. I hope it does for him. But, man, the fact that he has an option like this. Mike, no, you didn't have this option 5 years ago. You know, 10 years ago.
No,
you didn't have that.
He would have been screwed. I know we've talked about, remember the old supplemental draft in the NFL, but I mean, you don't make any kind of the money that you do in the regular, you know, draft. So yeah, this works out for him. So I thought, look, there was some good and some bad. I think we were all scratching our head after the Alabama game, and then he kind of doubled down and did it in the first half of the Texas game, and then he certainly did more good things than bad things. But I remember we did that poll question. I think it was back in like October, November, and I think it was 50-50 from like one of our largest responses this year on a Dukes and Bell 92.9 poll. And people were just literally 50-50 on Carson Beck. But again, goes down to Miami, lots of skill position guys, put some big numbers up, because he would never, ever get anything right now because can't work out for the combine, can't throw for a pro day. So it's a perfect situation for him. Plus, you're getting paid to do it.
No doubt. It's crazy. We'll talk more about the Dogs and again, Ryan Puglisi and their quarterbacks and everybody that's in that room. But that is official now. Carson Beck, putting it out there that he is committed to go to the U. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Big O, got to give him some love. And Big O, just real quick, I know you stayed last night in a hotel so you could be there for us. There are some jobs, guys, that you physically have to be there, and he has one, and we appreciate that. But I know you were at, was it the hotel right there connected to our radio station?
Yeah, I was at the Starling, yeah.
And how many folks were there?
So last night it was myself, Squid, Bo Morgan, and Mike Johnson from The Morning Show. I didn't see them last night. I got in probably close to 9:30, 9:45, but did go down to the bar to try to watch the game, and it was a very bumping scene last night at the Starling. Probably about 60, 70 folks that are in the bar. So, I mean, I know Andy and Randy were joking with Abe, hey, tonight's the night, buddy. I tell you what, Abe, if there was ever a night to put some points on the board, tonight is that night for Abe Gordon. So.
Yes.
Abe. That's awesome, man. Well, thanks again.
It's a great rap. I mean, if you're Abe, man, hey, what do I do? I'm a radio producer and talent. You know, we're just two ships passing in the night, stuck here for the storm. Yes. Let's make wild, passionate love here at the Starling.
There you go.
I'm with you. Abe, good luck, by the way, because I know you're listening. Well, cool, man. I'm glad you're good. Turtle is executive producing the show. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
Oh, it's Notre Dame advancing over Penn State 27-24 in the Orange Bowl to advance to the College Football Playoff National Championship. Mike, I want to play this for you, and then I got to find out. Who was he throwing it to? Drew Allard's interception at the end of this game.
As long as 49. Allard hit as he throws, and it is intercepted! Christian Gray picks it off!
Brutal.
Yeah, and I know that, it's big moments, and he did have some big ones, including a loss to Oregon, but is this a guy that – I was thinking last night, guys, like, this is a dude people are having as, like, the fifth best NFL prospect at quarterback. I said on Twitter last night, I said, the only way this guy goes to an NFL game is by buying a ticket. I mean, 12-23, 135 with the pick, bad decisions. I mean, and he looked like he was 12 years old. Every time they'd have that ISO shot of him, like, slapping his helmet with his hands, like, dude, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, and then they get the big field goal from Mitch Jeter, 41 yards. That's nothing to clown around about. I mean, that was a big kick, but he advances them to the national championship. Let's hear from Marcus Freeman talking about his kicker.
Riley kept everybody under control, and we knew we were in range where Mitch could make that field goal. And he is a confident guy, man. There is no moment too big for Mitch Jeter. And I had a lot of confidence in him in that moment. He was going to do exactly what he did. And he did a great job at doing it.
Mm. Carl, they were one of the worst kicking teams in college because of his injury. They lost him for a bunch of games, and when he comes back, he was a South Carolina kicker for a couple of years, and he goes to South Bend for two. So, yeah, he was money, and they kept showing those shots of him on the sideline. I'm thinking, is this guy, are we going to have one of those, as they say, on the college football final, college kicker moment? But no, he did it. And then Notre Dame, how about the touchdown to Jaden Greathouse, where the corner just completely falls on his back, and then he just takes it, makes one move, and he goes in the house. And that was probably the most, aside from what Riley Leonard was doing out there in Jeremiah Love, that was the most athletic play from Notre Dame other than what their defense was bringing.
Yeah, I totally agree. Again, the big splash plays, not there. And you mentioned it. I mean, they couldn't find a wide receiver to save their lives, which is part of the downfall of the storyline. Here's the other part of it. James Franklin is now 4-20 versus top 10 teams. I know they were in the semifinal, but Mike, we talk about this all the time. 11 years. Like, is Penn State just going to stay the course and say, okay, thanks, that was great, and we'll get them next year? Do you feel like James Franklin in these moments can get his team over the top? And allegedly, and I didn't see this press conference, but the news is coming out now about that they had a final press conference, and James Franklin was, I don't know if he was tongue-in-cheek, but he kind of took some shots at, Marcus Freeman and his age, and, you got your hairline, and Freeman took it as disrespect, and apparently – translated that to the kids, and they took that personal and took it on the field. And I'm just saying, like, James Franklin, go win one of these big games, man. That I don't know what their thought is about moving forward or not.
Yeah, I don't understand that. And by the way, I saw and I heard the, I think it was Greg McElroy on the call with Sean McDonough last night. I don't fault. I mean, what was your feeling on them trying to make something happen? You know, when he threw the interception, I thought if you are, you know, if you're Penn State, you got 38 seconds and two timeouts. Do you sit on it and take it to overtime, or do you try to get the ball down the field and kick a field goal? I don't fault. I mean, do you fault Franklin for trying to be aggressive there? Some guys are killing him, saying you got to just be conservative.
Well, that's the thing. Your quarterback hadn't found a wide receiver pretty much all night. When you look at the negative yards, that's the argument. It's not as if it wasn't the right thought pattern, but your quarterback hadn't found a wide receiver all night. Run the ball a couple of times and try to get in the field goal range there and just, yes, be conservative because that's the kind of game it was going to take to win it. And that's where he misread the room. You put the pressure on Allard. I put this on the coach, Mike. He put this on Allard as if Allard had been out there, you know, throwing 35 for 40 and had a 350-yard day. He didn't. So either way, it's like, come on. James Franklin, I'm not sure, you know, again, how he's viewed at Penn State. He might be the most likable guy, but that record. And by the way, 1-15 versus top five teams. How are you keeping your job?
You know, I said this a few times this last couple of years when we talk about Penn State. I married into a Penn State family. My wife went to Pitt, but when I go up to Central Pennsylvania, we call it Pennsyltucky, everybody up there is lukewarm at best on James Franklin because they felt like he just cannot get the job done. And then you think about how lame they were on those goal-to-go situations against Ohio State when they couldn't punch it in. I mean, there's just no imagination at times on offense. And let's be honest, Carl, even though he can never beat Michigan, never beat Ohio State, they literally gave him the easiest possible route to the college football championship, and he still couldn't bring home the bacon.
Yeah. Tonight we get Texas, Ohio State. We're going to continue to break that down. The Daily Download brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. We'll get more into this Texas, Ohio State game. But last night, a lot of credit, man. And again, Marcus Freeman, he didn't make this a big deal, and I commend him for that. I mean, the fact of the matter is we know a lot of things have changed, but there's still a long way to go. And when you start talking about, again, the first black coach to lead a team to the sports national championship game, it's a big deal, and it needs to be acknowledged. But then his response, I thought, was perfect, talking about affecting young men's lives and doesn't matter what you look like. Hopefully these guys get a chance to be coaches and affect people's lives. I thought it was perfect. We'll see who they end up playing after tonight's game. We're coming back. Falcons sticking to their process. What's the process? It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we're going to take a look at the playoff matchups in the National Football League. It's Dukes and Bell. Happy Friday, everybody. Again, happy snow day if you've had a chance to enjoy that. I'm with Mike. Now it's a little slushy and, you know, the wind has picked up a little bit. It's certainly changed. I mean, I always love, Mike, when you get up and it's so quiet outside because it's snowing. Right? It's like there's no noise. It's just, you know, it's quiet. And the snow's falling. And we were getting those big flakes this morning. And then I saw, like, up in Nashville, you know, my daughter went back up to school in Kentucky. They're getting it, like 6, 8, 10 inches, whatever they're getting up there. But yeah, man, it was cool. And I just love that. Like, there's nothing like you're being outside and it's snowing. It's absolutely quiet. There's no noise.
It really is. It's just, that's why I said it. I felt like a throwback, like a little kid. And all I was thinking when we were kids growing up in where we were in Long Island, we'd make a fortune shoveling driveways and front walks. It was, think about this. This was 1980 and 1981 pricing. It would be $10 for the driveway, $15 for the driveway and the front steps and the whole, and your sidewalk. And yeah, we would make, when you're a kid, $500 when you're like 11 or 12 years old, dude, it's like being a millionaire, man. Let's go to the mall, man. Let's get Spencer gifts.
You're right about that. And by the way, I mean, if you got a group of friends together and you did that, I mean, mm-hmm. You pulled the money, right? Everybody's like, everybody chip in.
Right.
It's great. I totally agree. But no, man, we're having a good day and having a good time talking about a lot of different things. I want to ask you, do you believe in the Falcons process? Now, look, it hasn't produced winning. We have been a team that hasn't been to the playoffs in 7 years. And so now when I hear, and by the way, I'm going to play this for you in just a second, where Terry Fontenot was asked about his job security yesterday and what he had to say. And I do respect what he's saying, because I don't think anybody gets up and is worried about whether you're going to be fired or not today unless you just suck at your job. But there are people who think that he does, that he's not good at his job for not putting a winner together. Mike, do you believe in the process? What is it in your mind that we're trying to do?
Well, look, the offense is exciting, and I do think I really first things first, Michael Penix Jr. is getting people excited about this football team. So even if you weren't excited about Cousins, and how could you not be when we were 6-3 and everything was rolling? But I think the fact that you had as many people that showed up for what in essence was a meaningless game, I know we had a slim chance to get in there, and for a minute it looked promising with New Orleans. But I think Penix Jr. in your offense, Bijan is a superstar. Drake's finally got a guy that can get him the ball reliably. You know, with Mooney, we got all these weapons. Look, Pitts, maybe they can fix Pitts. Maybe they move on from Pitts. To me, the process has to be fixing the defense. I don't know if this general manager can do that. He hasn't shown the ability to put pass rush on the field. So I trust half of the process. I don't trust the part of the process which builds our defense.
And that's fair. Here's Terry Fontenot addressing his job security. Listen to this.
No, I'm not, Mark. I just don't think, and that's not coming from an arrogant place. I just don't think about that. Sure. You know, I don't think, I believe my job is to come in every day and be as effective as I can. I don't think about my mortality or my job security and things like that and worry about. I worry more about doing the very best I can. I know it's an honor and a privilege to be in this role, and I just want to come in and do the very best I can to affect winning, and that's what I think about.
So, Mike, I'm with you. And by the way, I respect him for saying that. Like, it's not arrogant to say we don't worry about our jobs. I'm not. But I understand that there's a pressure that comes with producing and you know, delivering. And I think, Terry, he's right about that. If you get up and worry about that every day, you're going to drive yourself crazy. But there is a point where you have, if you're failing and you're not winning and not making the playoffs and not getting to your mark, that at some point they look at you and say, okay, we may need to turn the page. And so I don't know if I believe in the process either, because it just hasn't produced enough winning. And I don't know what the process is, Mike. You're right. The defense has to be fixed for whatever reason. Like, why hasn't it been fixed yet? It's not as if he hasn't had an opportunity.
Exactly. But this goes back, and I told Carl yesterday when we were leaving Twin Peaks, I said, I am never, well, that's a lie, never going to go into full detail about why we should have did this or that. But I will say this, without getting back into the conundrum of the Cousins and or Penix, this is why I just say, amongst other things, yes, at the time, Carl, we were like, okay, we got Kirk Cousins. If he can bounce back from the Achilles, you and I said, okay, he's a 30 touchdown, 10 interception guy. He's going to throw for 4,000 yards plus, and that should be good. And we were excited about that. And then we found out, we're getting Michael Penix Jr. Okay. I always felt one or the other, because to the point about the defense, you could have been involved for, if you feel that Danielle Hunter was never coming to Atlanta, well, how about go get Jonathan Grenard? How about get some of the other guys that are real proven edge rushers? You know, you didn't draft Nick Benito. I talked about that the other day. You went for Troy Anderson, a guy that was a project. You had a guy that was coming out of Oklahoma as a fire-breathing linebacker that gets after it. So I just don't know if you can trust him to do the things you need to do, because you missed a golden opportunity to fix your defense through free agency, but you just allocated $100 million guarantee to a quarterback who's now going to be a backup. So that's also part of the package. Terry Fontenot has not done it necessarily the right way in free agency, and if we're honest, in the draft.
Yeah. That when I hear
Bates
this word.
Jesse Bates was great. Judon, he rolled the dice with Judon and Simmons. He came up snake eyes.
Yeah, I agree. And again, so, you know, you're not batting 400, but none of these general managers are when it comes to those kind of moves. I'm with you. The draft to me is more concerning, because that's where you have plenty of time. Guys, they don't just pick these players in a vacuum and like, oh, we got 2 weeks. Who are we going to go get? I talk about this every spring. Like, there's so much work that goes into understanding who these players are and what they can do for your team and how you want to, you know, insert them. And so when you continue to not hit, and I'm talking about guys that contribute, I'm not even talking about superstar type players, just guys that contribute, it makes me wonder what this process is. You guys can let us know. 404-726-0929. We'd love to hear from you guys on our text line. We can see that. And certainly, you know, you can hit us up on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I may put him up. See Dukes. And the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. It's just something that I think, Mike, we're going to spend a lot of time on as we get into this offseason. You know, we'll have the wild card games this weekend. We'll talk more about that. We're going to get to the divisional round, then the championship round, and then Super Bowl, and then Super Bowl hangover. And then, believe it or not, as frustrated as I am, I'm going to have to start having hope again because I have to.
Right.
I have to have hope that they're going to be able to do what they're telling me they're going to be able to do. And I had a buddy of mine hit me up a couple of days ago, Mike. He heard our show, and he said, you know, you got to give Raheem and company some slack, man. It's their first year. And I understand that. But I also understand that he inherited a much better team than a lot of guys. The only thing, Mike, he didn't have was quarterback. Like, Harbaugh gets a quarterback when he takes that job. So then they went out and bought a quarterback, and we still failed.
Yeah, anybody who's saying you got to cut Raheem slack, I can't jibe that, man. He's not a rookie coach. This guy's been in the NFL for 23 years. He was one of the younger head coaches, but he has the experience. He was an interim here. He interviewed for the job after Dan Quinn got fired, and he ran the team. Not much happened that year. But, guys, it's not like the first time he's been on a sideline. He did great things in L.A. He's a great defensive coordinator. But the strategy stuff, the inconsistency with when we're going for it, when we're not, I just felt that's stuff you've learned over two decades in the league. That's not like, oh boy, it's a learning curve, my ass. We got Kirk Cousins to go win 10 or 11 games and get in the playoffs this year.
That's right. And that's why I'm having a tough time saying that as well. We want to know what you think. It's something, again, this process, and we know he just spoke yesterday. I mean, this is not the Raiders. Arthur Blank is not Mark Davis. They're not firing Terry Fontenot, okay? And I'm not saying that they should. We all have our thoughts. But I told you, the clock starts over when you allow a GM to stay on when you hire a new coach. It just does. And so he spoke. He's staying the course. They're going to stay the course with him. Ra's not going anywhere. And it feels like this staff is going to stay together. Right now it does. Maybe we're wrong, and maybe they make a change in a few weeks. But that's kind of where I am right now. And then I say, okay, can they correct all the things that went wrong this year, and how do they get better players, Mike? And how do they get these guys that already are here to perform better? That's my thing, too. Development matters, dude.
Right, and we've got to develop a couple of guys here. I mean, Rook, that's another one. You know, Rook-a-ro-ro-ro, we love what he did in the small sample size when he came on, but still, that's another one where there were other pieces that were, you know, needed here in the secondary. I mean, they love Hughes. We asked him all the time about the secondary in the preseason, and I still think there were four or five guys. There was a second tier of corners. It's not as good, certainly, as the guys who went in the first round, Carl, but there were some names and guys that are getting reps, guys that are more than just nickel this year, and we passed that for a dude that they believe they can develop. He better become the next big thing on defensive line. You know, right. I mean, if he can become a Jonathan Babineau type, okay, that's a good starting point for a second round pick. You know, you mentioned Ebikadie. Can you get more out of Ebikadie, or is that the ceiling? Is Troy Anderson going to stay healthy? What's going on with the rest of these guys? I mean, we're going to have to draft some more guys, and do you trust him to draft the right edge rusher this year? Because I don't think you could say, well, we're going to find an edge rusher in the second or third. No. It's got to be a first-round allocation.
It does. All right, more on this to come as we discuss. And, again, this is all the fallout from not making the playoffs. I mean, we could have made the playoffs this weekend. We actually could have lost, and I think we'd all feel more satisfied than not making the playoffs and being where we were. And it all sucks at the end of the day because we're still not winning Super Bowls. But, Mike, that's how I feel. Like, if we had just gotten in, I'd feel a lot better about how this season may have gone. But losing the way we did the last few weeks and not getting in and I think it just makes it worse. I do.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, we actually, had we won the division, we would have been in the same spot as Tampa Bay because we would actually have a better conference record than the LA Rams. We would have been the 3 seed. How about that? I mean, it's not just, you know, I mean, we talked about, okay, you'd be playing the Vikings. We would have rematched with the Commanders potentially. So, yep. I mean, that's even more frustrating because I would have liked our chances bringing the Commanders to Atlanta.
Yeah, me too. I would have loved that. But, again, it didn't play out that way. All right, we got a lot more to dive into. It's a Friday show, man. We're going to talk about Ohio State and Texas coming up. But when we come back, we got to break down this wild card weekend. Steelers-Ravens, it's a big one. Ravens without their star wide receiver, Zay Flowers, and how that might change the game. And can Jaden Daniels, speaking of the Commanders, go down to Tampa and pull off an upset? Because a lot of people think that they can. We got Texans and Ravens and Bills and Broncos and Eagles and Packers. We got a lot of stuff to get into, and we're going to do that coming up in our fourth and one segment on the way here. Also, our man B-Mac's going to join us. Bryant McFadden. He has a great podcast called All Things Covered. He's going to join us at 3:20. He also covers the NFL as an analyst for CBS. He'll join us in 20 minutes from now. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.